Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. We'll be reading from Daniel, chapter 6, in just a moment. But what would we find in your house? In reading from Daniel, chapter 6, we have a lesson that we can take, that people are watching us. Your neighbors, your co-workers, your family, your friends, people are watching. And what would they find at your house? So if you would, let's begin reading in chapter 6, verse 1 of the book of Daniel. And it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks unto his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come and to look into the Word of God. Bless the thoughts we see here in the book of Daniel, and then as we go to the New Testament. Lord, we just ask that they could be of encouragement to us. Be with those of our number who, because of the COVID issue, have had issues now, Lord. We pray for complete healing. And Lord, we pray that you would just make it so we can meet again at the house of God. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Daniel was put into the highest place of authority on Darius the king. Unfortunately, many were envious of Daniel, and in their jealousy, they sought to bring Daniel down. Some have thought maybe it was because of his Jewish heritage. Others simply because, well, they didn't want the fact that Daniel had been chosen when they themselves would like to have had the position. And of course, in anything like this, what you're going to find is people take sides. Of course, we have to say that Darius takes a lot of the blame also. He should have thought of this through a little bit clearer about, wait a minute, why should I be put in the place of a god? But he didn't. And we find because of this, Darius would experience a very interesting thing when he realized just how powerful Daniel's God is. But our lesson isn't today about Daniel in the lion's den. It's about Daniel in his house. And so the question is asked, what would people find in your house? What a testimony we read here about Daniel in verses 4 and 5 and how they could find no fault in him. And I'm sure they tried. And then they said the only place we'll find fault is concerning his God. Now, I'll be honest with you, in many parts of the world today, because one is a born-again believer and faithfully serving the Lord, persecution has come against them. And it could be that someday it may even come to our shores, where if you are a believer of Jesus Christ and you are faithful to serve him, there will be those who will come against you. It reminds me of the statement that I read many years ago, which said, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to convict you? And so the question I ask today, would you be found guilty for being a follower of Jesus Christ? Would they be able to say, this is what we have seen in their house? So we have found seven things that we would like to point out as evidence that you have a Christian home. Now, there are many more that we could have used, but we'll just go with seven this morning. Number one, they should see Christ in our home. They should see Christ. Some homes have the following motto on the wall. Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Would you want that to be on the wall of your house? Let me ask you this. If Christ was coming physically to your house today, would you need 3 or 4 hours to straighten it out? Not because the house may be a little cluttered, but because there are things in your house you wouldn't want the Lord to find there. Acts 4:13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now remember, Peter and John were fishermen. And it says, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Can you think of a better testimony than that? That people realized that you had been with Jesus? That your life was such that he had a major influence on your life. Again, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Point number two, they should see love in our home. Love should abound in every area of our home life. Now, I'm going to quickly say that is easier said than done. But love should be something we strive to have in our home. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity, which means love in action. And each member of the family should be showing love. All too often we have this idea that love is that they make me happy. Well, may I say this? Love is that you strive to make them happy. That you are striving to make your home a place where your family wants to be. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I really don't like going to my parents' house or my kids' house or my siblings' houses. You know, it should be that we enjoy being with family because of the love that we have one for another. Number three, they should see the Bible in your home. This great book should not be on the table collecting dust or on a shelf where it is never used. Your children and your grandchildren should know of the importance of the Bible in your life. They should realize that it is a priceless item. Your family and co-workers should know of your love of the Bible. And so is the Bible a place or have a place of importance in your home? When your neighbors see you go to church, do they know that you are taking your Bible with you? I used to live across the street from a church, and one of the things I noticed was how few people actually carried their Bible into church. And this was before cell phone days, where people could say, well, it's on my cell phone. But the fact is, I often wondered, what did they use in the church? The Bible is important, and we need to read it and study it and love it. Number four, they should see prayer in our home. I'm amazed that some people do not even ask the blessing at mealtimes. You know, the fact is, as a pastor of the church, we call on people to pray, and I believe that I should be able to call on any man in our church to pray because they're used to praying. And prayer needs to be a part of our lives. And so prayer should be something that is in our lives. Listen to this. People should be able to ask you to pray about an issue because they know of your faith in the Lord and that you are a praying individual. So that means at work, if someone has an issue, they could come to you and say, would you please remember to pray for? Because they know you pray. People in your family should be able to come to you and say, will you remember to pray for? And when you say yes, we need to remember to pray. And so prayer needs to be a part of our home. Number five, they should see a regular church life in our home. Our Lord's habit was to go to the synagogue while he walked on earth. We know that the Apostle Paul regularly went to the synagogues to be a testimony for the cause of Christ. The early believers were in church. We need to remember that Christ died for the church because he loved it. And he wants us to love the church also. The author of Hebrews wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Gathering together. May I say it's nice to be able to at least do this online, but I tell you what, it doesn't replace church. Getting together with God's people. It messes my whole week up. I have a hard time remembering what day it is if I'm not in the house of God on Sunday and Wednesday night. And so we need to have a regular church life. Can I say this? When we get to heaven, there are going to be lots of worship services. And I find it sad that some people today struggle with going to the house of God. But we need to be regular in our attendance and in serving him. Number six, they should see peace in our house. Now, I know I have this as number six, but maybe it should be number two. Because peace is important in our world. The home should be a place of safety of contentment, a place of shelter from the world. It should be a place where our families want to get together and share time together. It should be a place where children enjoy bringing their friends, because there is peace in your home. The home is where children learn about boundaries and walls, and discipline should be taught. See, too many in our world today believe that children have the right to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. No, that's why we have parents. And it's a parent's responsibility to train a child to do right. Because chaos doesn't bring peace. Only when we are doing what is found in the Word of God will we find peace. We are to train up a child in the way they should go. And we need to have peace between husband and wife and husband, between parents and children and parents. Peace. And our Lord is peace. As we said in point two, love should abound in the home, and love will bring peace. And how important that is. Which brings us to number seven. They should see a Christian example in our home. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There should be a Christian example in your home. What is right should be done for the cause of Christ. And we begin reading it at verse 22. Ephesians 4. 22, that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Do you see that there should be a Christian example at our home, and that there should be people who know by our actions that we are followers of the Lord? We continue, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You may want to highlight verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let him in. Many people have the front door locked, but the back door is open. Let's keep the devil out of our homes by not allowing things in that will disrupt. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Can I say this before we continue in verse 28? Our government throwing money at people doesn't make our economy strong. What makes our economy strong is when people work. One of the issues in many nations around the world is that there aren't jobs for people, which leads to people being unhappy and leads to chaos. And what we need in America is a strong working force. It says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It's not the government's responsibility to take care of us. It is our responsibility to take care of ourselves and to help out those who are in need. And yet we find that our government wants to become all things. And all too many say, fine, let it happen, but it doesn't bring peace. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That means there are a lot of those songs that some people call popular that shouldn't be even listened to because of their corrupt communication, what they're teaching, what they're telling. It says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We continue verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These are things that need to be removed from our homes. Bitterness is something that will destroy love. It will destroy friendships. It will destroy that which is good. Let all bitterness and wrath, the desire for revenge, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Evil speaking. How sad it is when in the home there is a constant battle to see who has the best jabs and cut downs, and there isn't the peace that there should be. In verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There needs to be a Christian example in your home that people can see. In conclusion, the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, let it be known that life lived outside the will of God is vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity when we are not living within the will of the Lord. Would you please go to Colossians now, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. Colossians 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. What would we find at your home? What does your home life declare? May I encourage you this day, ponder these thoughts, not because they're some great words of mine, but because God wants us to live godly lives. See, when they went to spy on Daniel, they would have been disappointed if they hadn't seen him praying. They would have wondered, wow, maybe he really isn't that strong in his Lord. But thank God he was willing to pray no matter what the cost. He was willing to live a life that brought glory to the Lord. And may I say this? Easier said than done, but we should strive to show Christ in our homes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, give mercy today to our friends who are going through grief. Be with those of our number who have health issues, Lord, we ask that you would give healing, give peace of mind and comfort. And Lord, we ask that your will be done in all these things. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.